This is Viewing Spring from the Bookshelf, a part of an archive broadcast in Nature of Things for March 22nd, 1991.
March is a month when many nature enthusiasts in these parts seem to want to contemplate spring from the bookshelf. There is a scent of spring in the air, but the damp cold and the mud tend to interfere with our celebrating spring out where it is happening. This month has been somewhat of an exception, with some remarkably mild, fragrant days. But on the whole, year in and year out in March, you'll find the bookshelf a bit more attractive than the field. This all comes to mind because I just received the April-May issue of the National Wildlife Magazine. I got to thinking that many of you who may have been at least mildly sensitized to nature by listening to the Nature of Things may not know where to turn for good reading to complement the fragments of information you get here. You couldn't go wrong if you subscribe to National Wildlife and the New York State Conservationist Magazine. This combination would cost about the same as you'd invest in two hardcover books. These are two beautifully crafted publications featuring well-written, informative articles and designed for your reading pleasure. Just take a look at the current issue of National Wildlife. The lead article, Hot Science and Cold Lands, provides an insight into the natural wealth of both poles, along with trends and potential problems in our attempts to harvest resources there without destroying the ecosystem. Grand pictures. Can Dragons Teach Us to Fly? Outline studies into the aerodynamics of dragonfly flight and ways in which we may profit from the information gained. Fixing a Broken River points to something I have often talked about, the imperative of studying our errors in environmental tinkering. It also outlines what it takes to correct such mistakes. The channelization of the Kissimmee River was an exercise in environmental tinkering. Only the most polarized of business rights activists thought would bring benefits that exceeded the potential problems. Here the developers ridiculed and castigated the environmental scientists who warned of the inevitable outcomes. Now the necessity of righting the wrong is generally recognized. Hell on Wings is an article on the goshawk, one of the most magnificent of all wild birds. You'll love this examination of the private life of the most aggressive of all nesting birds. You may remember my own brief accounts of encounters with female goshawks. Damn if they do and damn if they don't is about beavers and the problems their invasion of the city and of the suburbs can produce. That's another one I've had a great deal of experience with back in my days as a conservation biologist. The reason we're sneezing gives some invaluable information about allergens and allergies. Notice that the southwestern desert areas, Arizona for instance, one thought to be the most pristine and safe for the allergic, has developed year-round allergy hazards, January through November, whereas in the northeast the season is only April through October. This is a trend that needs attention. My favorite article in this issue is called Big Hope for Bold Beasts, and it outlines plans for reintroducing some of our endangered predators into some of their former ranges. Such programs are always controversial, and this article points up the potential problems as well as the positive indications for reintroduction of grizzly, timber wolf, red wolf, Florida panther, and lynx into selected coverts they once occupied. The article is illustrated with paintings by Bob Kuhn, Robert Bateman, John Seeley Lester, Manfred Schatz, and Carl Brenders. That's a great bonus. The last article is really a visual treat, featuring close-ups of the parrotfish, a pastel-hued reef fish featuring decorator colors. The article is entitled Watercolors. Cover photos include a close-up of the polar bear on the front, and a spectacular close-up of the beautiful lazuli bunting perched on the manzanita bush. The lighting, the composition, and the colors are tremendous. The Conservationist magazine features the natural wonders of New York State. It has varied fare, including conservation topics, wildlife profiles, geology, weather, lifestyle, and history. It is always beautifully illustrated with great color photographs and paintings by Wayne Trim and Ed Kenney. Like National Wildlife Magazine, it is published 6 times a year. One great feature about the combination of National Wildlife and The Conservationist is that their publication dates are mismatched. The Conservationist starts each year with January-February issue, while National Wildlife Magazine starts each year with a December-January issue. If you subscribe to both, you have a new magazine to enjoy each month. Check them out at your library and see if you might not want to subscribe. Well, that's all I have for this week. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.